I am going to be in Ezekiel 33rd chapter this evening. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 9. Very familiar scripture. I want to ask you a question this evening. Do you have blood on your hands? Do you have blood on your hands this evening? Very simple question. And I'll get into it here. I'm going to read the scripture here in a little bit. But you know what? The title of the message itself should be, and it's frightening, it's a frightening prospect, is it not? For a minister of the gospel or anybody that's out there trying to do God's work. That'd be a frightening question right there. Do I have blood on my hands? And you know why? Because the very implication of the title of this message, I would have someone else's lives in my hands, quite frankly, it scares me. I don't know how it does with you, but it scares me to think that I have the life of somebody, their spiritual life, in my hands. And you know, as a minister of God, it does worry me. But I want to tell you something. It should very well worry you also. It should worry you very much also. That you have the life, the spiritual life of people you come in contact with every day on your hands. You might have that blood on your hands. I don't know. The ideal Ezekiel's trying to get across here was like this. All of the major cities at that time had walls around them, and then they had towers up in them, and they would put an individual up in that tower to watch out over the landscape day and night, 24 hours a day, to see if the enemy was coming. That's what the watchman would do. He'd be up in that tower and he would look all around the landscape and he could see if anything was coming. Like I said, 24 hours a day. There wasn't no sleeping for anybody that was up in that tower. There wasn't no, you know, taking time off and just sitting down and relaxing. They had to keep their wits about them. And that's the way, that is the way right there. If that's the way they approached it, the way Ezekiel, if he failed at his job, if that watchman failed his job, the city could be overrun, the citizens could be massacred, and the blood of those who perished would be on the hands of that watchman. Exactly. That's where it could happen. With this in mind, let's read this scripture this evening. Chapter 33 of Ezekiel, beginning with verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, now get this, and taketh not warning, if the sword come, take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman seeth the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his own iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hands. That's why I preach to you the way that I preach to you. That's why that we as Christians right there should have our soul and our spirit the full desire to teach and to preach to those people who are out there in the world. Let's read the rest of it here. So then, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word of my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou doest not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, that wicked man shall die in his iniquities, but his blood will I require at thine hand. At thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his ways to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his ways, he shall die in his iniquities, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Thy soul. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, again this evening, Father, I pray, Lord, this evening that the word would go out. I pray that it would be just exactly the way that you would have it. Lord, as it goes out to each and every individual here this evening, I pray that they take it in. And Father, that they would take what is applied to them, Lord. And Father, that we could use it. Every one of us use it for the upbuilding of thy kingdom and for thy glory. And Father, we will give you the praise, the utmost praise for it, Lord. And Jesus, we pray tonight, Lord, that we find that our hands be not guilty of the blood, Lord. Be not stained with blood of those individuals that we could reach. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. And amen. One of the most important military strategies in any army is the strategy of surprise, right? That's to surprise your enemy. That is what happened. You know what? You think about 9/11, that we just honored that here just the other day. That was totally a surprise the way that they did it, right? Totally a surprise. But you know what? If the enemy can attack in a time or in a way when it's unexpected and the people is unprepared, he gains a great advantage on them, does he not? He does that. You know what? The enemy can attack at a time and in a way, but let's take it a step further, folks. Let's do that. God compared Ezekiel's job as a prophet to that of a watchman on a tower, did he not? That's what he did. He said he was to be given a warning from God. He got it, and he was expected to pass it on to everyone else. I want to tell you this evening, we have been given a great gift from our God. When Jesus died upon the cross, and he died upon the cross for every individual so that we could be saved, and whenever he died on that cross, praise God, we, as individuals, then had the opportunity to accept the finished work of Jesus. We had the opportunity to let the blood be applied to our lives. And praise God, He has given us that message that we need to spread to every individual that we can and come in contact with. We are the watchmen in this world that we live in. God has given us a message. He has given it to us. Just like He did with Ezekiel and His people back then, God has given us a great message to send. And praise God, we are the watchmen. We can complain about how bad the U.S. is getting. We can complain about how bad the world is and everyone around us is. We can complain until we're blue in the face. But you know what? We have the power through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to spread a great message to where we can be of the utmost help to individuals. We should be standing upon that tower and shouting it out day in and day out. Jesus Christ is the one that can save. Praise God, we are those. We are the task of myself and every Christian today is very similar. We are to confront men. We're to confront them. And when the message of God and His Son Jesus, Paul tells us in Acts, listen, Acts 20, 26 and 27, when he left the city of Ephesus, you don't think it don't apply to us in the New Testament today? Listen to this. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from he had done everything he could do, right? He knew it. He said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I want to tell you something this evening. We, as Christians, can share the whole counsel of God's Word in this world of fires. No matter where you're at, whether you're on the job, whether you're at school, no matter where you are, we will have it. I'll tell you what you do. When you get up in the morning, you say, God, help me to share the Word with somebody down through this day. We can be the watchmen to do that. Therefore, I take you to the record this day. Paul said, when Paul left there, he had done all he could do to spread the message of Jesus to the city of Ephesus. And praise God, have we done everything we could do to spread the message of Jesus to Sandyville? Have we done it in every place in between? Have we done it? Because if we have not, we might be guilty of man's blood on our hands. Do we understand that? Folks, there can be no more fighting reality. No more of that. We can't do that. In this life as a Christian, we cannot do it. Then we will be held responsible. We will be held responsible for the souls of others who die and go out of this world, and we've had the opportunity to spread Jesus Christ to them. We can be found guilty of that. I'll tell you, out of this pulpit, when I get done preaching, I pray at the house. I pray before I get up here, Lord, do not let me get down out of the truth of Jesus Christ. I want to always do that when we have that opportunity. And you know what? When we have the opportunity, when people about us are sinning in this life, and they're dying a spiritual death, and we go about doing nothing about it, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? You had solid evidence. You had solid evidence that someone was going to blow up Walmart over in Ripley. And you knew it. You knew for a fact that they were, and you were the one in charge of taking care of that. And you just deliberately turned your back on it and just said, "Now I'm not going to worry about it." And they went ahead, whoever that individual was, went ahead and blew that place up. And you know what? Hundreds of people died because of it. Who is at fault? What would you think? You would probably have such disgust because somebody knew about it and did not take steps to take care of it. You right? Am I right? You have this guy. It would be and should be tremendous to you, tremendous a hater or something toward that individual. You probably would have that because they had the blame. Because the blood of all the lost would be on that person. The Bible fixes the blame. I already read it in verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hands. That individual that knew that, just like the other women, he could have turned it back, right? Listen, if we know that someone is going to die and go to hell if they do not accept Jesus, and we have the opportunity to tell them that they need Jesus in their life, and we don't do it, and we don't do it, and you think that other individual is guilty for doing what he's doing over there, we're just as guilty, folks. In the Word of God, we are just as guilty. Of death. God has made us watchmen in this world today. In 2 Peter 2, but ye are a chosen generation. I told you, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and to the marvelous light. Praise God. Listen to me. He called me out of the pits of miry clay that I was in, and the things that I was doing in my life. I've heard testimonies of others in here. Why would I not want to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to others? Why would I not want to shout it from the highest rooftop? Why would I not want to be that? I'll tell you what. We are a royal priest. We are a chosen generation. Praise God. You know what? It's time we start acting like it. It's time we start acting like, you know what? We are special because of Jesus Christ, not because of who we are, because of what he's done. We are special. You know what? It's estimated, I've seen this version in this country, that a church only reaches that much. And you know what I think? I think it's lower than that. That's just my little humble opinion, but I think it's lower than that. People look for life's meanings in the occult. They look for the life's meaning in other religions like Buddhism and Hinduism. They look for life's meaning, and even in witchcraft, and even in Satanism. They look for life's meaning in all these other things. Well, we have the true life in our hands, and we need to let them know that all that other stuff out there, you know, no matter what they want to think about it, is not going to get them anywhere. But we know exactly what true life can be. Amen. We do it. America has reached the same state. I'm telling you right now, America has reached the same state of affairs as it was over in Judges 2:10. When there was 2:10, they found out there was a whole generation that did not even know God. Found the book, the Holy Scriptures, and he didn't even realize it. He got out and started reading it. He started crying. I tell you what, this country's getting to that point. They don't know who the true God is. They don't know that you can be saved. I got a feeling it's the church world. I got a feeling it's preachers who like to tickle ears. I got a feeling it's people who don't want to tell them that they really need Jesus. They don't just need to go to church. They need Jesus. I've told you this before, but I think it's worth repeating. Going to church doesn't save you. Don't save you. I'm sorry, if you die, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. Going to church does not save you. I tell you, we have a message from God. The world needs to hear it, and we need to be willing to give it. If we do not proclaim it, no one else will. It's not the schoolman's responsibility, and it's surely not the media's responsibility to tell them that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. It's our responsibility. We can't depend on them. Let's make no mistake. There's too many preachers and too many churches out there who are dropping the ball. And I'll tell you what, preach to. I like to be preached at. I like to be preached to, and I listen to some preachers sometimes, man, and just step all over my toes. And I say, praise God. I don't get mad and turn off the TV. I need it. There's not a preacher or teaching the full... They're not preaching and teaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not preaching the full Word of God. Like we heard here earlier. If they don't know what's the difference between the Old and the New Testament, pray God, what are they learning? Jesus. A recent poll done in churches said that 90% of the churches believe, now listen to this, the purpose of the church is to meet their spiritual needs. 90% of the churches, they took a poll. 10% of them, my Lord and Savior died for everybody. Amen. He died for the world out here. He died for everybody out here. I don't care if it's a drunk laying in the ditch, and I don't care if it's somebody who comes to church every Sunday. Jesus Christ died for every one of them. And praise God, that's what He's there. That's what He's there. Only 10%, really? Praise God, I thought we were supposed to go into all the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come under the... It's about Him. It better always be about Him. It should be about... The purpose of the church and His existence is to meet the spiritual of all the needs of every human being in the world that we can reach. We better be the watchmen we need. Do we not? What about our friends and relatives? Do we not love those people that we should love the most? Really? You know what I'm saying? We should. If anybody, really, we should love our friends and relatives, right? Why can we be real bad about it sometimes? I pray about that all the time. It's those people who know me from the time I was this old up through, they're the ones, I remember when you was like this, I remember when you were like that. Yeah, but you know what? I'm not like that anymore. I'm a preacher, because I got saved one day. Preaching ain't got nothing to do with it. Jesus Christ saved me one day. He lifted me up and set my feet on a solid rock. Because I preach. I do what He wants me to do. We associate our love with ideas like security and friendship. But love also involves responsibility. If we love somebody, it involves responsibility in our lives, does it not? We have a responsibility. Cain asked God, what did He ask Him? Am I my brother's keeper? I want to say a big resounding, yes, we are. Yes, we are. Amen. We are. We to those we love. We got to do it. I don't care. I don't care if it's Aunt Minnie or Uncle Frank or Grandma Ted, Grandpa Ted or Grandma Minnie. I don't care. We take the truth to them. We let them know. If they don't know Jesus, they need to know Jesus. They need to know Him. There's such a thing as sin, and it will because of sin, judgment is coming. We don't know when the Lord will return, but we know He's coming, and judgment is going to come on all those who do not accept Jesus as their Savior. It's coming. It's coming. Most people don't think sin is an important issue. They, you know what? You know what? There's a lot of people don't think. They claim that, you know what? They have the right to live any way that they want to. Come on. You know what I'm saying. People think that they have the right to live any way that they want to. That they're going to do what they want to no matter what because it's their lives. And you know what? I'll tell you what. You go right ahead and live that life if you want to. But one of these days, you will meet the judgment of God one of these days in your lives. And I guarantee you're not going to stand in. You're not. You're not even going to lift your eyes towards Him. I say that I believe this. You're going to have your head so buried. You're not going to be able to say what you do is going to be written. Going to be told you. And there's no escaping from it. None. Most people don't think sin's an issue. Everything is just a matter of opinion, right? Have you heard that? Everything's just a matter of opinion. Not so. Everything's a matter of what Jesus. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. And I'll read the rest of it here in a minute. And they need to know that Jesus Christ died and paid for the penalty of sin. So let's finish Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He didn't leave us hanging out there. He don't leave us hanging through His Son Jesus Christ. He made a way. His death on the cross was done not of extreme love and compassion. It was voluntary. Jesus died on the cross. He voluntarily went to the cross to die that you and I can have salvation. He did that. God has entrusted us. Listen, if you're here this evening and you don't know Jesus, Jesus voluntarily died on the cross that you, no matter how bad you think you are, can be saved and become the royal priesthood, a chosen one. You can become the one, an overcomer. Because of Jesus Christ. What caused us not to share it? Embarrassment? Or we did? Sometimes that's what happens. Whenever we think that, you know what, well, I don't want to embarrass myself, we're thinking of ourselves more than we're thinking of the person we're witnessing to. The watchman's message is not just to come to church. It's not just that. It's not just to come to church. It's to come to Jesus. That's the message of the watchman right there. He alone can meet the needs. He and He alone can meet the needs that we have in our lives. He alone can do that. A little boy went to church. And his first time he's ever in Sunday school. And he got home and his mother asked him, said, well, who is your teacher? Who's your Sunday school teacher? The little boy thought for a minute. He said, it must have been Jesus' grandma. Because that's all she talked about. The church is on fire for the Lord. You know what? What are we going to talk about? We're not going to talk about how much money we raise for this and how much we do that. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ, are we not? We're going to talk about Jesus. Amen? That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about Him. You know what? There's a truck driver one time. I'll tell you this a little other story that I'm going to hang up. He'd come down hundreds of times before he was driving this area. And this bridge had come, this bridge went out. But anyway, he went down there and his truck went down in the ravine. Anyway, he got out. He was okay. Somehow or the other, but he went back up on top of the hill up there, up the ridge, and he tried to warn people that were coming down through there. He said that he stood up there and he waved his hands. And he said, you know, people passing by, they thought he was a nut. They thought he was an idiot trying to get him to stop over. They went right on down, went right on through, and went right into the bridge. And some of them got killed, and some of them didn't. You know what? Isn't that the way the world is today? You think we're idiots. Because I think we're out here in left field somewhere because we say that, you know what? Just like Julian was talking about, that, you know what? I've got a hope beyond this whole mess down here. If He decides to take me out of this world out here, I've got a place. You know what? I'm not nuts. You know what? I'm going to win inside. How about you? We're overcomers, are we not? Praise God, I can't get that out of my head. We are overcomers. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I thank Him this evening. Thank Him this evening. Let's don't have the blood of individuals on our hands. Let's be the watchmen that we should be. Let's not hang our heads. Let's say, Jesus, I'm going to be what You want me to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. They come get us all.